We are mostly live and completely local. This is Metro South Podcasting.
Welcome to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us and how it affects us here on the South Shore of Massachusetts. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. My name is indeed Ron Van Dam. How you doing? Good to be with you on this fine, beautiful Tuesday, July 29th, 2014. Just a couple of days left within the month of July. Duh. Stating the obvious, are you? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Stop arguing with me. Stop arguing. Hey, good to see you. You're looking good today. What is that, a new cologne you're wearing? Is that eau de something? Nice. Very smelly. You smell like a whore in an elevator. But in a good way. But in a good way. Oh, a lot of news going on, huh? What the hell's going on around here? It seems like the whole world's falling apart, even locally. A Category 2, a Type 2 diabetes tornado. Type 2 tornado, An EF2 tornado went ripping through Revere yesterday morning at about 9:32 in the morning. If I was on the terrestrial radio, we would have been talking about that all morning, but I'm not. Anyway, holy crap for people that lived in Revere. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was killed. Maybe some minor scrapes and bruises, perhaps, but nothing. It was a blessing. But my goodness, a tornado in Revere, who would think that? And the way that the place looked after the tornado hit, how could you tell the difference? Hey, that was nasty. Hey, that was nasty. Revere isn't, of course, one of your finer class neighborhoods, but good people living over there, just down to earth. Reverians, what do you call those people? A lot of damage, power outages, the whole bit. I guess the last tornado in Revere, or in Suffolk County, I should say, was in 1950, which is 64 years ago. So, you know, every 64 years, watch out. That's what I say. Check it out. 64 years, magic number. That Beatles song, When I'm 64, referred to returns of tornadoes. And, of course, tornadoes are not all that impossible in this area. They're quite odd and they're quite rare, but not impossible, quite obviously, by what happened yesterday. But you remember, tornado were ripping through Worcester and traveling down the pike in the Charlton area and just doing a real number there. What about 3 years ago, something like that, 3, 4, 5 years ago. And then New York State has had a few in upper New York State as well. We had a microburst back in, I think it was 1997 or 98, if I'm correct. If I'm incorrect, then I'm incorrect, but if I'm correct, it was 95, 96, 97, 98, somewhere in there. Microburst, which is not even on the charts of a tornado, but it is a tornado. They don't call it a tornado. They call it a microburst, but it's exactly the same thing. It's circular motion. And it took down trees here in the Metro South area, especially in Brockton. Tower lines and trees. I remember I was at WMSX Radio at that time doing my show in the afternoon. And this microburst comes through, and I wish they called it a tornado, because that's what it is. It's Tornado Junior, but enough to do some real incredible damage. I remember I couldn't get home from the radio station because all the roads were blocked with downed trees that went right across the street. They blocked the street, and I couldn't go left, and I couldn't go right, and I had to wait until some trees were cleared. It was like one of those maze games, like that thing, that like Frogger, what they call it, Frogger Twister. You can't get across, you have to keep, you know, go left, right, and then a little bit of here, a little bit of there, and you have to, like, find your way. That was very similar. I feel very bad for the people there, and of course, we've talked on the show about the tornadoes in the Midwest, and Oklahoma, and Texas, and Kansas, Toto. These people live with us almost on a daily basis during tornado season. My God, how is that possible? How can you live there? Tornadoes also spotted in Florida yesterday, and expecting more today in that area. One might say, what's going on? Is this some type of a sign from above? No, it's a weather pattern. It's nothing religious. Take it easy. When you start seeing frogs falling from the sky, either it's biblical or there was a tornado and it swept up some frogs and now they're falling down. Because everything goes up must go down, including frogs. That was some bad earth-shattering news. As a matter of fact, now when you hear the weather and you hear a chance of severe thunderstorms, you're going to say, oh, I better pay attention now. Because there was no forecast of tornadic activity. It was just severe thunderstorms coming through. But they can start that air mass of spinning when you have those two fronts coming in, which is what causes thunderstorms. It can turn circular and it can turn into a tornado, as it did yesterday in the Revere area. Am I like your science teacher or something? Just shut up for me. And as if that weren't bad enough, and it probably wasn't, this Gaza-Israel thing has just gotten way out of hand. Some bitches need to be slapped over there because they just not getting it. They don't recognize each other's existence. I don't see you. I don't recognize you. And it's childish when I say it, and it's childish when they do it. But just innocent people being killed on both sides, especially the Gaza side, to be honest with you. Because Israel's military power is incredibly superior. But at the same time, it's like doing war with your neighbor in the backyard. You blow up his backyard, you know, your place is going to get pretty much hit too. It's just a little, that war is a little too close. You know what I'm saying? But just awful, man. I can't imagine living there and just going on day after day and wondering when's the next bomb going to hit. Could be on my head. I mean, it's so close. It's just really an awful situation. These people cannot leave in the Gaza area. They're fairly poor in Israel. They just stand their ground. They're going to try to push me. When you shove me, you shove this thing off my face. They don't move. There was an interview, CBS did an interview with the head of Hamas. Hamas, I thought was, I get confused with hummus all the time. Anyway, the president or leader of Hamas, the question was posed, what does it take for you to have peace with Israel? And the guy just couldn't answer the question because what he didn't say, but what he was intimating is, I don't recognize Israel. I don't know what you're talking about. Israel, I know we're lobbing bombs over there, but I don't recognize them. I've seen pictures, but I don't recognize them. Can you live in harmony with Israel? No. He didn't say no, but he didn't say yes, which means no. They want it, Israel wiped off the face of the earth. Israel would kind of like Hamas to go away, but not using the terminology that Hamas uses where, no, you people must die. I don't know how you resolve something like that. And I don't know if this is a religious war or a territorial war. I think it's a little bit of both, but I think it's more territorial. But holy crap, man. I mean, that's just awful. And then Russia, what's going on with you, man? What is it? It's not world domination for you. What is it? What's up with this stuff? Vladimir, man, get some Effexor or something. Take some pills because you need to chill, man. You're not getting this thing either. And Russia, I shouldn't say Russia. Vladimir is Vlad the Conqueror. Ooh, he's just out of his mind. I don't understand what's going on. He wants to control everything. I think he wants to conquer or land. He wants to get Russia back the way that it was. And I don't know, he's just going nuts. He's going nuts. He's starting to not pay attention to the arms treaty. He's actually testing nuclear and long-range missiles again. Oh, man, don't do this again, huh? I went through that my childhood. I don't need that again. And now there are reports that perhaps, that's not substantiated, but it's looking good that missiles are being fired from Russia directly into the Ukraine might have something to do with that airliner going down. It's just, I don't even want to talk about it. Stop it. I don't even talk about it anymore. It's just, you people are all just sick people. That's all you are. You're all sick. But we go through the same thing. Ever watch the Jerry Springer show? You would wonder how that ever happens. Why? How can two people on the Jerry Springer show be so mad at each other to the point where they just break out into fights? Of course, it's theatrical. They don't really do it. Did you know that? It's all planned. They prod them along. But still, I mean, there's your America watching people scream and yell at each other and push and shove. What's that about? Anyway, let's get that out of the area, out of the way. I was in Whitman on Saturday. Not bragging about it, but I was in Whitman on Saturday. I'm serious. And I'm driving by the Whitman Hanson High School. Both towns share a school. And I have to share a desk and I have to share the books. But it's nice. See, there are two towns that got together. There's no fighting. Whitman recognizes Hanson. Hanson recognizes Whitman. They get along. I've seen them having sex. They're fine towns. They're kumbaya-ish. Nice for them. They have campfires. They roast marshmallows together. A little strange, but still, they love. They love these two towns. They love. Their high schools are together. They're interracial towns. Racial in the sense that one's Whitman and one is Hanson. And that's nice. Anyway, so I'm driving by the Whitman Hanson High School, and I'm going toward this Route 14 intersection, and there's a gigantic gas station there, and they have a car wash, and I don't know the name of it because I really don't care, but the gas price there was $3, get this, kids, $3.50, $3.49 on Saturday, and that was unheard of, and I started to wonder, what's going on in Whitman? And I've often wondered about this, and nobody has the answer to this at all, which kind of makes me feel like there's some kind of a conspiracy secret thing going on, that the gas stations in Whitman are run by the Masons, because that's a secret society. They don't talk about it. I think that's what it is. As a matter of fact, there's a Masonic temple not far down the street from this gas station. Hey, wait a minute. Is there an underground oil well? Is there a Derek somewhere? Is somebody named Derek? Are they getting their oil and their gas through a pipeline, but nobody knows about it? Why are the prices so low in Whitman? What is it about Whitman and that all of a sudden the price, and Hanson a little bit too, but Whitman, odd. I know that they charge taxes on gasoline in Whitman. They do it all across the state. Gasoline, by the way, is not as expensive as what you think it is. It's the taxes in Massachusetts on gas that make it expensive. Other states, far less expensive, by 30 cents, 40 cents in some states, because they don't have the gas taxes that we have, and they're a little closer to the oil. Perhaps so, but these prices here in Massachusetts are artificially inflated to reflect the gas prices so that we can have the wonderful roads that we have. And let me tell you something, our roads really are not so bad, unless you live in Brockton. They suck in Brockton. But in other places, really not so bad in Massachusetts. We keep our highways and our main roads looking pretty good. Side streets, residential streets, oh my God, like a tornado hit it. Because the economy never really bounced back from 2008. I don't know why not. It is everywhere else, but not around here. In any event, I digress. What would possibly be the reason the gas prices are so low in Whitman? And just in Whitman, what is with that? What is up with that? Is it because it's far from the highway? Other towns are far from the highway, but the gas prices are higher. What is it about Whitman? I do think they tap into some type of a reserve. I really think that there's something weird going on. Or there's a Whitman mafia. There's a Whitman gas mafia. I don't know how to explain it because it's secret. Again, the Masons involved. I don't understand it. The problem is I don't live near Whitman, so for me to drive to Whitman to get low gas prices, I'm chewing up gas, in which case it doesn't make any sense to do it. But if you happen to live in what I call the gas triangle, which would be Rockland, Abington, Whitman, and a little bit of Hanson, you're very, very lucky. Your gas is just wonderful. You have very tasty gas. I will go to your fine towns just to get gas. It's wonderful. it's a wonderful part of life. your gas people. You got nice gas people there. You get fine gas people and really nice people. Very nice people in Whitman. Going to Whitman and Hanson is like going to the country. They all wear straw hats. They do. They sit on porches and drink pop. Very, very, very progressive in that sense. Very, very, very backwoods. Not progressive. Very backwoods. Very, you know, they all own pigs. They all have pigs. Some of them married to pigs. I've seen them. Believe me.
One man, one microphone, 1 hour, so many random thoughts. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
Welcome back to the program. I was just a little break there that I need every once in a while in order to gather my head, which I don't really have. Thank you for listening to this POD cast. You're really nice to listen to this. You're nice people. Really nice people. Not so much in Sharon and Canton. Have you noticed that? Now, I mean, they're nice and everything, but they're a little entitled. I mean, a little bit entitled. I mean, you can live well and still, you know, feel like you're a normal person. But you know, some of these towns, like the Newtons, I don't understand them. Anybody that goes to Boston College or, you know, or sends their kids to Boston College, you know, I don't know. You know, you're fine people. I really don't doubt you whatsoever. But you got a couple of things up your ass. You know, a couple of little popsicle sticks up there. I mean, I guess it isn't a horrible thing. I mean, you have to have your class system. But yeah, you got some sticks going on there. There's no question about it. Because you don't like to culturally mix too much, do you? I know, and I get it. I understand somewhat, but you know, you got to get with the times. Not much cultural mixing going on in those towns, you know, which is why they don't have power plants. If this this power plant thing in Brockton, you know, these people want to get into Brockton, they're only doing it in Brockton because they can, and then the former mayors were able to set it up accordingly because they, you know, they're smart people. But if you tried to get this power plant into Newton, you'd never hear so much laughing in your life. With power plant. Oh, stop it. And it doesn't matter how much money the power plant has, they would have to understand that it's just, it ain't going to happen. It is funny. In Brockton, it's not so funny. I mean, you know, you have to get enough people speaking English to stop this thing, first of all. Yeah, I'm sorry, I go back to that all the time. I'm not a Republican, but I do believe that if you're going to make your home in this country, you best live here and start assimilating to your community. It's not, you know, it's not your little country town. It's not a town here that from your homeland country. You're assimilating into America. That's why you came here. You came here for the freedom and for the social services, so act like it. Speak some language, get involved, make things better. Don't live in a vacuum. That's my advice, but these people can't understand me because they don't speak English, so it should be mandatory. I mean, people, the police should go from house to house saying, where are you from? You're from another country? Fine, let me see your papers, because you really should have papers if you're going to live here, unless you're just visiting or doing business here. Otherwise, if you're going to take up residence, you really should have some kind of a paper. I have to have paper. I pay taxes. I have to have a paper. I have a driver's license. I have identification. I have a residential paper. I've got these things, you know. I've got a passport. I can identify myself, where I live, and how long I've been here. My goodness, with the onslaught of the worldwide information highway and all the record keeping and computers, there's just no way that someone can exist here and not be somehow involved in this computer thing. And if you've been living here for more than a year, you're no longer visiting. You're making your way here. You're going to earn a living here. You're going to live off our land. You're going to live off of our taxes and our pool of money. And you're going to use all of our social services, most likely. You really need to at least register and pick up a couple of words of English here and there. An English course should be required. And don't give me any of this bull that, this is a melting pot country. We speak all languages. No, we speak one. Learn it. Get over it. Stop it. Anyway, sorry. There's another problem in the city of Brockton, which is of great concern to me. I've always known about it, but it's never talked about. And this is an area in Brockton called Tent City. There are other towns and cities across the country that have these things. It's called Tent City. Tent City is city of tents. They don't rent tents from the Rent-A-Center place or anything like that, or rent a tent. Sounds like a little bit of a Christmas song. Rent-A-Tent. These are homeless people who don't have homes, thus homeless. They are so poor and so displaced that they have absolutely no place to stay even overnight. So they live in these large tents, or these small tents. It's like a gigantic campsite. And it's on the east side of Brockton near the railroad tracks. Almost midtown, but kind of east. And they've been here for a while, and it came to somewhat of a public knowledge when there were two people who were found dead in this tent city. And there was no tomfoolery. Nobody named Tom had done this. But it brought to light again the fact that Tent City exists, and that these people and families live in these little tents in this very nasty little area. But it exists in the city of Brockton. And again, it brings Brockton down another notch on favorable places to live. We don't publicize Tent City too much because it is not a wonderful thing. The mayor of the city of Brockton at this time, Mayor Bill Carpenter, has expressed publicly that he doesn't want Tent City there. It shouldn't be there. It is not right. It's wrong. It's bad. It's unhealthy. It's an eyesore. It's not a good thing. It should not exist. Mr. Carpenter also recognizes that these homeless shelters, of which there are two, are smack dab in the middle of Commerce of Main Street. And in order to bring Main Street back to life, as every mayor has tried to do, mayors and mayors ago, it's difficult to do that. It's difficult to bring progress and such with these homeless shelters, with homeless people roaming Main Street for most of the day. It's not the kind of place where people would want to take up residence or have public businesses on Main Street with homeless just around the corner. The problem to all of this is that we all, in our democratic lives, and otherwise probably, have a large heart for those that are down and out. We help people out. We give them dollars when they panhandle on median strips. We feel bad for them. Anybody can be homeless. Since the economic problems in 2008, the homeless numbers shot up because people lost their jobs and were not able to support themselves. Families were broken up, lost their homes. Anybody can become homeless at any time. You can have a lot of money and lose all your money. A lot of well-off folk lost 80%, 90% of all of their investments. It can happen to anybody. So I feel for that. On the other hand, the city of Brockton is social service land. There's more social services here than in social service heaven. This is the social service capital of the world in many senses. Massachusetts is a place to go for many people because we are so democratic and so social service funding-ish. But Brockton can't be the center of it. No city can survive in this sense. Where the major industry is working in a social service office? No, I don't think so. Where the highest you can achieve is working behind the counter at Wendy's? I don't think so. There's something amiss. And as much as any mayor or any council or any public figure can try to reverse Brockton's situation, it can't be done without all these components being adjusted. Where do you send a homeless shelters, homeless people? Who would want that in their neighborhood? For a while, the crime was sent down to Taunton. Taunton actually said, don't send me your crime. You're going to screw up our town. What do you do? Where do these people go? It's a problem that nobody has really answered. New York City, where I'm from, turned basically yuppie-ish, as I've said on the show many times, areas that I would never walk through that were drug-ridden, like Needle Park in Manhattan. You would never go near this place. It's just people sitting around a park shooting up heroin all day and other stuff. Now Needle Park is a beautiful place, and there are cafes on the street. You sit there, it's like a French Parisian cafe, and you sit out on the street. 20 years ago, you wouldn't go near that place. It would be unheard of. Hell's Kitchen was a horrible, horrible place. People got murdered all the time. Outdoor cafes now. So how did that happen? Well, the real estate prices in Manhattan shot up so high that these people couldn't afford to live there. So they dispersed into other communities, which are also very expensive. There are some neighborhoods, of course, that are not as expensive, and that's where these people went to, or they had to move away completely, but they couldn't afford to move. They were just kind of driven out by the economy. That seems to be the only answer, but where do these people go? They go into other areas, they go further south, and they take up space. I feel bad for them. This is why we have social services, but it seems to me that social services are not really doing their job. It seems to me that the churches, I love the churches, they're nice people, they try to help people, but people should be staying in your basement then, man. I don't know what insurance policies you have, but you're not paying property tax. Take in some people, help them out. Let your congregation, let your fellow worshipers help these people out socially, if that's the case. I mean, people have to come to people's aid. That you can't just throw money at problems sometimes. That might be the way out. I don't know. But this tent city does exist, and it grows, and it grows, and it's a problem. And until that problem is solved and thought about, this ain't going to work. And you can screw your power plants and have all your talk and your little court cases and all that. That has nothing to do with the people. It has nothing to do with power to the people or to the homes. It's a private business just trying to make money. Let's stop fooling around with that crap and start concentrating on solving this problem so this city of Brockton can return to some type of normalcy. It will never be the way it was. Everybody says that. Nobody expects that it would be. But with all the building going on downtown right now, it is an opportunity to clean this city up. But those buildings aren't going to clean it up. Buildings don't clean places up. They are starts. They are parts of the wheel. It's a good opportunity to get this thing done. Mr. Carpenter, who is the mayor, I say to you, concentrate on that right now. That's an immediate situation that requires immediate attention, because you have the ability, with all this construction going on downtown and all this rejuvenation and newness coming down the pike, you have to coordinate this immediately with cleaning up that main street, with getting the homeless into some other situation, some type of concerted effort. You cannot have them roaming the streets and expect anything to happen. And the time is now. If you screw this up and you don't take care of the social problems immediately along with this building in downtown, you're going to lose that building in downtown opportunity, where those buildings won't mean anything, and they might even fail. So it's time for you to do that. I know that the mayor has hired a business guy, a redevelopment guy, a city planner, so to speak. Start city planning, my friend. Roll your sleeves up. City plan this. Get this thing. Get this social problem solved. As soon as you have any kind of panhandler standing on a median strip at the gateway to the city of Brockton, which is around the Route 24 Westgate Mall area, that's the new gateway, you have one panhandler there, you've pretty much killed your image, and all your buildings aren't going to help that image at all. Your downtown is cooked, my friends. It can be nice, it can be okay, but it is not your downtown anymore. It has moved. Let's get with the program. Thank you so much for listening. Have yourselves a wonderful day. But I'm not through yet. I've got more show coming up.
Raise your hand if you would like a second helping of the Ron Van Dam Show. That's right. Part two of today's podcast is waiting for you on the homepage. So back on out, click that link, and sit down for some more Ronnie goodness. You know, it makes its own gravy.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home. Some listeners may experience nausea or vomiting while listening to this show. Please consult with your doctor or psychologist before listening to this program. The Ron Van Dam Show is not intended for listeners who have had a history of high blood pressure or acid reflux. Women who are pregnant should stay at least 20 feet away from the radio speaker and should avoid listening to the show for more than 2 hours at any one time. The Ron Van Dam t-shirts should never be worn in conjunction with the Ron Van Dam pants, unless it is after Memorial Day or before Labor Day, but even then. Please refrain from loud conversation, as this may be disruptive to others nearby who are trying to listen to this program. Your enjoyment of the program may vary. It may vary greatly. Please enjoy the show.
One man, one microphone, 1 hour, so many random thoughts. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
Welcome back to the program. Part 2 of 2 of 6 of 7. Part 7 of 10. Part 9 of 3. Part 6 of 2. Welcome back to the program of life, the tree of life, the arm of the life of trees. I get up too early, that's for damn sure. All right, here's the deal. Yesterday, had to go to the DMV, the Demilitarized Zone. The DMZ, the DMD, the RMC, the DMV, the POD, the RVD. I had to go yesterday to renew a license, a driver's license. All I can say is, and I'm so glad that I have a voice, and hopefully we'll get a phone line in here soon in the studio so you can have a voice as well. But my God, I walked in the door, and the place was packed, but it's okay, because I figured they can handle me. And there's a lady that sits in a desk booth kind of thing when you walk in, and you have to go through her, and she decides what forms you need to fill out, and she's supposed to greet you and help you out. What? A fucking bitch she is. I'm sorry, excuse my language. I never talk like that, but she deserves this. Now, she can beat me up because she was a large woman, a scrappy dude woman, but I'm behind a microphone. I think I'm kind of safe. But man, honey, and excuse me for calling you honey, what a bitch you are. What is your problem? Get on some medication, man. And I don't know who runs this RMV, DMV thing. Start checking out your people. I mean, they are rude sons of bitches, almost all of them. There was a time when, I don't remember the guy's name, but the motor vehicle department was a horrible, horrible place. People were abused and slapped, and it was awful. They were bitch slapped by the people behind the counter. It was really bad. And this guy came in and he computerized the thing. He, you know, had a number system like in a bakery, and it wasn't so bad. And the people actually were friendly. Well, I don't know who runs it now, but it's reverted back to the despicable, angry employee kind of thing. And I'm going to tell you something. These are people that want to renew their license. They're not going for cage fighting. They're going there to get something done so that they can drive. What are you people who work at the motor vehicle department? What are you so mad about? What are you so mad about? What is your problem? Are you sick of all these people? Then don't take that job. Get fired. Go somewhere else. Be a greeter at Walmart. I don't know. But you don't belong in a place that serves the public. And I don't know who's running this thing, but I hope you're listening to the PODcast. And I hope that a lot of the public stands up to this too. You don't put up with this crap anymore. What is this lady coming off? I walk up and I say, I want to renew a license. And she doesn't even look up at me, and she doesn't smile, and she talks in a monotone. Fill this out and bring it back to me. Say, excuse me? Fill it out, put it back to me. There were some other exchanges to the point where I said, what is your problem? And she just stared at me like she, daggers in her eyes. I mean, she was just a nasty, cold, unemotional person. I fill out the form, I walk back to the place where she's sitting, and I extend the form toward her. Now, I didn't want to be rude because there are other people in line, but I had just filled out the form and she needs to get the form back. So I extend it. She doesn't take her hand and extend her hand to grab the form. She actually says to me, please step in front of me and give me the form. What am I, in Auschwitz? What are you talking about? Why didn't you just grab? You can't extend your hand to grab the form from me. I must be directly in front of you and hand the form to you. You don't grab it on your end. I need to put it down in front of you. Excuse me, bitch. Wow. Who's running this DMV thing? I want to talk to you. What the hell is that about? Why do you need to piss me off? I'm not happy going there as it is. You need to make me feel good. I don't need to please your employees. I sit down in the chair 40 minutes before my number is called, and I don't understand their system. They go from here's their number system, and there's a electronic board on the wall, so it tells you what place to go up to, what counter number. There's like 15 counters. At one point, there's only 4 people working in 15 counters. It's like a bad Shaw's or something. Yeah, everybody goes on break at 10 o'clock, apparently, or 10:30 or 11 o'clock. Everybody goes on break. So like, there's like everybody sitting there. The place is filled up. There's not even a place to sit. So here's how they call the numbers. A11, go to counter number 5. F6, go to counter number 7. A2, go to counter. W6, go to counter. What? K274, go to counter. What is your system, man? What is your system? Why don't you just have the numbers like 1 and then 2 and then 3? What is all this letter before it? It just screws up with everybody's head. I'm sure you've got your system, but it sucks. So we get to the counter, and there's this kid sitting there who's probably about 25 years old. Again, extremely unfriendly. I think they actually train people to be unfriendly, because this kid looked like, in normal circumstances, he'd kind of be a nice guy. But it's like they've trained him to be an asshole. They go to asshole school. The DMV runs asshole school. They run a driving school and an asshole school. Driving school for... people want their license, asshole school for people who want to work at the DMV. They trained this kid well because he was acting like an asshole. He wasn't helpful. He would say something and we would say, excuse me, I don't understand what you're talking about. And rather than explain it, he would just repeat what he said that we didn't know what he was talking about. He's an asshole. But again, I don't think he was born this way. I don't think he came out of one when he was born necessarily. Those are the only people that I met in the DMV, but I'm going to assume that all the people that work there have gone through the asshole training program, the ATP. At one point while I was waiting, I actually looked in the hallway there at the Brockton DMV, and it said men's room, ladies' room, employees only. So I was like, well, do you just like want me to take a dump in the middle of the room? Which could be part of the asshole training program. I don't know, the ATP. So I go back up to this lady at the behind this desk booth thing that greets everybody, and I walked right up to her because I'm not taking her crap anymore. I said, excuse me, where are the public restrooms? And she said, the what? I said, where are the public restrooms? And she just stared at me. And I said, the men's room. She says, it's when you came in, it's in that hallway. It's over to you. Go walk out the door, it's over to the right. She's basically saying, get the hell out of my face. Go take your dump around the corner. Again, lifeless, emotionless, no smile whatsoever. That has been wiped off her face a long time ago. I don't know what horrible tragedy she went through, or should I call it asshole training. Man, guarantee you, and this is a promise, I shall never, within my living lifetime, go back to the DMV in Brockton. This is another shining example of how the city of Brockton just sucks from beginning to end and doesn't seem to want to turn this around. If I were the mayor of the city of Brockton, Bill Carpenter, I'd have to be a lot shorter, first of all, and I had to renew my license, I don't know how they treat him or if he has to go in or somebody else does it. But I would say, excuse me, I don't care if this is a state office or not. You people are going to be nice. Because that place as well is giving Brockton a bad name, because I will never, ever within my lifetime go back to that office. If I have to renew my license or do anything with my license and I have to go down there and I can't do it online, I'm going to Braintree. Because they have an office in Braintree. I'm going up there. I'm going to give them a shot. I don't know if they're any nicer up there. I have no idea. But I ain't going back to the Brockton office. And until the people of Brockton start smiling and start being nice business-wise, I ain't going back. And it's not a reflection on Brockton, quite obviously. This is a state. It's the Department of Transportation for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. But I'm not going to that location anymore. And it does leave a sour taste in my mouth. And it's unfortunate that that's one place in Brockton that I will not go to. And I hope that the list of places I won't go to does not increase. But I refuse to be treated in that manner when I did nothing to them. If I pissed them off or I did something to them, give it back to me. Let's go at it. But if I do nothing but walk through the door to use your services, you better be damn nice to me. You better put a damn smile on your face and help me out and do what you're paid to do. Otherwise, your ass should be fired. Just disgusting. I couldn't believe it. So pissed.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. Okay, he's not much to look at, I'll give you that. But he's a good cook, a great conversationalist, and he's got an excellent personality. Would it kill you to just spend a little time with him, like 2 hours? Could you do it as a favor to me? Thank you so much. It's The Big Show with Ron Van Dam.
I plan to write a letter to the DMV. I don't know if they have a Brockton manager or what, but I'm going to pursue this. I mean, I'm going to pursue it. I will not be treated like that as a human being. I will not. I will not. I'm writing letters. I don't care if this lady loses her job. I really don't care. You can go from one government place to another and collect unemployment, honey, because you're in a job. You are the first person that people see. They must go through you before they are whisked off to another counter or to another section of the DMV. You are the lady that they see first. And I don't know how many people you see during the day and how much it pisses you off to have that job, but give the job up. Go somewhere else. Sell ice cream or something, man, because you don't belong in a job with the public at all. And I plan to make that abundantly clear, unless you wish to apologize to me profusely. Just disgusting. Nobody should be treated like that. I don't understand it. And then there's the other side of the coin, which I, in comparison, don't mind. When I go into Lowe's, they almost hound me. It's like I walk in the door. How can I help you? Can I help you? Can I help you find something? Back off, Charlie. I mean, let me breathe first. Let me first take my shoes off here. And I mean, thanks for asking, but it's okay, man. And then I'll be down the aisle, the light bulb aisle. Can I help you find a light bulb? Can I help you find a light bulb? Can I help you find a light bulb? No, I'm good. I'll let you know. I'll let you know. Just be around. If I have a question, just be around. That's all I ask. Just be around the general area if I have a question. But you don't need to come up to me and constantly ask me if I need help. Okay. But in comparison to my DMV story, God love you. It's heaven. Shaw's has, they did some kind of a campaign. They did the opposite of asshole training. They did actual friendly training. And now in Shaw's, I'm pushing my cart. I'm picking the stuff off the shelf. I love to shop in a food store. It's like Disney World to me. And Shaw's employees, man, they're like unloading the bread or something, or the butcher's standing there, or somebody's from Shaw's is walking by in their stupid little polo t-shirts, which I hate, by the way. And they'll actually say, good morning. How are you? How are you today? Lovely. Perfect. Perfect. Nothing. Can I help you find beans? Can I help you find the milk? I mean, they're not on my ass like that, but they're just friendly. They make me feel like, it's a good start of the day. Nothing starts your day better than encountering somebody on the street, in the store, wherever the case may be, who say, good morning. It just changes everything. It's the first interaction of the day, and if it's a pleasant interaction, your day goes accordingly. If it's a nasty interaction, like at the DMV, your day sucks, and you end up crying about it like I am. Although I'm doing something about it, I guarantee you I will. I'll let you know what happens. But I like that. Congratulations to Shaw's. Congratulations to Lowe's. They get it. Because it does make a difference. And it's such a small part of the customer service thing. Yet it is the largest part of all. Walmart had the idea a while ago with Walmart greeters. And this kind of gave a job to seniors and people that are not capable of doing other things. And it was cool. They would just, you walk into a Walmart, which is a horrible experience to begin with. You walk into a Walmart and there's some person who just goes out of their way and their only job is to say, welcome to Walmart. I like that. I like it. I like that. That's their only job. They're giving jobs to people. It does make a difference. Won't make me go to Walmart every time just to be recognized. But it's a nice touch. They get it. Haven't seen that in a while. Maybe I go to the wrong Walmarts, but Walmart greeters, haven't seen them. No, not really. Not at all. Maybe Christmas time, maybe. Don't kind of remember because this is July and Christmas was like 6 months ago at least. But not seeing a lot of that anymore. Such a simple formula. Such a simple formula. It's worth every minimum wage penny that a business owner pays simply to train its staff to interact with the customers in a pleasant manner. They'll go back every time because they're treated well. It's not rocket science. It's the simplest science there is. I went to Costco recently. I do have a Costco card. I broke down twice. I have Comcast. That's a breakdown. And I'm a member of Costco. That's a breakdown too. And I buy nothing in bulk whatsoever. As a matter of fact, most of the stuff at Costco I don't buy because it's only found in bulk. I don't need a 723-gallon jar of ketchup. A, I have nowhere to put it. B, I just don't eat that much ketchup, man. So I don't shop there because it's all in bulk. And they're not all people with large families. I don't know what the hell they're doing at Costco. I don't know what the hell I'm doing at Costco. I was looking for an electric toothbrush, and I thought maybe the prices would be lower. And they were on that. On other things, they're quite high. Walmart beats them out price-wise on just about everything, usually. But it's a different experience to go to Costco. I go in there. What you do when you immediately go in is you flash your Costco card to this person standing at the door like the gatekeeper to hell. And the gatekeeper to hell at Costco simply nods without talking and leads me to believe that I am allowed to enter because they've recognized my card. Mistake number one. Why can't this person whose job is nothing but to nod okay to continue walking into the Costco emporium, why can't that person say, good evening, good afternoon, welcome to Costco, hope you have a nice shopping experience, something like that. But no, not a word uttered. So if you work at Costco and you're the Costco manager and you're listening to this podcast, the location in Avon, you're not doing your job well. You're missing a component of customer service that is so important. You've got someone standing there and you're not using them properly. Then I walk around Costco and I look at stuff. Sometimes I'll have a question. Do you know there's not one damn person there to ask a question of? There, nobody roams the floor saying, can I help you? Can I answer any questions? Nobody. It's the opposite of Lowe's. It's nothing. It's zero. It's every customer for themselves. The only Costco people you see on the floor are hawking crackers or mango drinks or something like that. And they'll help you out, but they have no freaking idea where anything is. And they admit it. I don't know where it is, but I'll try to help you. Their only job is to give you a piece of chicken on a toothpick to try. Costco fails in customer service. And then you get to the checkout line, of course. If you've ever been to Costco and you have to stand in line for a while, you can check it out yourself or have somebody else do it. They're rather efficient. They get you through the line pretty well. But just when you feel that, okay, I've conquered this Costco thing and there's no bags whatsoever, they put stuff. I mean, you're lucky you even get a cart. I don't even think they had carts at a point. But there's no bags. You bring your own bags or buy the bags from them. I mean, they couldn't be bothered with this stuff. I mean, they make a lot of money, but they can't be bothered. You pay a membership to get absolutely nothing. That's what you do. You pay a membership to get low prices. They're not that low, but you're not paying a membership for anything whatsoever. Apparently, they have no employees whatsoever. So I'm all done. I've paid for the thing. I've spent like $300, $400 in the stupid Costco thing and all on ketchup. And I'm on my way out to the car. And I get stopped by a Gestapo Costco person. This is the one time that you really run into an employee. And they're rather pleasant. But they take your receipt and they check what you have in your cart against the receipt to make sure you didn't shoplift. Now, I want to tell you something. When's the last time you joined a club where they totally mistrust you after you've joined? Costco, you've been operating under this method for quite some time. Apparently it works for you. I don't get it. It sucks. You don't make me feel special by joining Costco. The only special thing I feel is that you allow me to walk into your warehouse. And by the way, does it look like a warehouse because you don't have any money? Or does it look like a warehouse because I'm supposed to feel like I'm walking through a warehouse and I'm getting things wholesale? Because I'm not. It's the worst marketing I've ever seen in my life. It's the worst customer service I've ever seen in my life. You join a club, they give you absolutely nothing except for the entrance to walk into this warehouse. And people flock there. I don't quite get it. It's another thing that I don't understand. But my job is not to understand. My job is to podcast, and I am totally out of time today. But I thank you so much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more program. Thank you so much for your indulgence. You're wonderful people. You really are. Here you go. Hey, baby, won't you look my way? I can be your... Oh, by the way, tomorrow, Wednesday, July 30th, we're going to be at Charlie's Diner and Restaurant. That's at the entrance to the Brockton High School. It's that restaurant there. We're going to start podcasting at 7:30 a.m. We're going to be there until 9. Come on down, have breakfast with us. You pay for breakfast. Give some business to Charlie's there. And watch the podcast. I'll be there with David Casella, Mike Pava, and Peter Zimbor, all the components of what you used to listen to on the terrestrial radio last month. We're having a reunion broadcast tomorrow, and you're welcome to sit and watch it. Charlie's Diner, 7:30 a.m. tomorrow morning in the city of Brockton. It started with a whisper. And that was when I kissed her. And then she met my lips.